Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Wednesday. This is my second show in my summer series on Life Design with Linda Sachs, all about my top trailblazers. I have a very inspiring and spectacular trailblazing female guest to share with you today. She is a real true pioneer and what I like to call a passionate renegade, if I may call her that. Tina Marie Bernard has helped thousands of women create more meaningful intimacy in their lives from what she calls the earth up. She's known as an internationally eco-conscious, get that everyone, intimacy coach, writer, and educator. Now, I met Tina Marie just recently. Actually, I don't even want to tell you all how recently, but I guess I must, because people who know me know on my show I tell it like it is. We just met like about 2 weeks ago at a three-day event where Tina walked up to the stage and wanted to ask a question, and she said, oh, I'm trying to figure out, you know, really how to totally ecstatically brand my eco, you know, conscious concept with intimacy and sexuality. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have to grab this woman, and that's just what happened, and I'm so glad I did. Tina's approach is really particularly nourishing for women who have experienced sexual shame or wounds and who yearn for more wholesome connections that are body, soul, and earth friendly. Get that. Her coaching work is rooted in a concept called eco-sexuality, which, as I just told her in the queue, I'm going to let her run with an explanation on that because I will totally not do that justice. So I'm going to leave that for her to explain to you. Tina Marie is naturally empathic. Her combined gifts and experiences are in writing, education, world travel, academia, and the healing arts, which she tries to create an alchemic space for others to explore their intimacy, goals, and desires. Standing by women when they find that aha moment and reclaim their sensual power is her soul's purpose, quote unquote. Tina Marie and I, as I said, met. We had lunch together. It was really so wonderful. And interestingly enough, I invited her on my show, and after a few cell conversation phones with her and I back-to-back in the car with broken reception and everything, it came to her. And she said, that's it. It's time for me to share my story and tell my story. And that's one of my passions. That's my real favorite. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the show over to Tina Marie. I could keep going on and on with all her credits, and I really have two more pages, but I don't want to waste the time. So the last thing I will say is to make sure I get this in, that she is the author of a piece or book called People, Planet, Pleasure, Purpose, 5 Meaningful Ways to Embody Eco-Conscious Intimacy. And she has written several articles, which, of course, I will ask her to talk about. So before, once again, I over-talk myself, Tina, are you there? Hello.
I am here. Thank you for that amazing introduction.
It is my pleasure. It is my absolute pleasure. I love your passion and your enthusiasm. And what I'm really going to do is, rather than question, I'm going to just say to you, this is my summer to really let people, it's summertime to have their platform and have their forum. Take this, run with this, whatever your heart tells you to go, that's where I want you to go. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. And, you know, it's no accident that you talk about summertime being the time for people to take for themselves. Like, I wrote a piece recently about deep time and the ecological message of deep time, which is to slow down.
Right.
We have these longer days, and it's an invitation for us to lean into pleasure and relaxation, which is something that we don't normally do. I mean, kids naturally, the summer comes, they take a deep breath, they're off and they're playing. And grown-ups, we don't take that time for ourselves. So that would, you know, let me just say kudos for you to pull that
into the game. Yeah, I keep trying different things, but, you know, you're not different, you're special. So that is for sure. So share what is so special about you and your life. I'm really so anxious. I've been waiting for this.
Well, you know, I will say this. I'll start off and say I'm an ordinary woman. I'm a mother of two. I'm married for the second time. If you walked past me on the street, I don't think you wouldn't say, oh, there's some, you know, way out there trailblazer.
Really, I disagree. You stood out in the crowd.
I stood out in the crowd because I spoke up. But when I stand there, I don't walk around with a big sign that says, look at me, really, because a lot of the work I do is internal. What differentiates me, I believe, from others is that I am willing to talk about it. I am willing to say, I have this experience. I've had these experiences. I've had these sexual wounds. I've struggled in these areas in my life. I'm curious about this.
Right.
This is how... and then being willing to actually talk about it and say certain things. You know, people, just this morning, I got a call from my insurance company and they wanted to ask me some questions and they, you know, about my employment, about all these other things. And then he says, and I say, well, one of the things I do, I'm a writer. Because that's what I say standard-wise. It's
right.
Always the one that people can relate to. And then the question becomes, what do you write about?
Well, that's a great hook.
And I said, well, I write about sex and relationships. And you always get a reaction.
Right.
You always get a reaction. People giggle. Oh, I have no problem with that. I'm willing to cover that. But when you go into start asking questions and trying to draw forth their stories of sexuality, what it means to them, what they've experienced, what they would desire, what they've wished for, hoped for, imagined, their disappointments, their pains, their fears, it becomes a much different experience. So, but let me talk about where I started from.
Yeah.
So, this really is a story of sexual wounding. And at the time I was going through this, I never in my wildest dreams would have ever said, ever imagined I would publicly declare that I was anorgasmic for 6 years. And what's worse is that I wasn't able to experience, not only was I not able to experience an orgasm, every act of penetrative sex was incredibly painful. I was so ashamed of this. I was married. I even got pregnant like the one time I had sex in 3 years. I mean, it was just, it felt like there was a knife every time my husband and I tried to have sex. And I did not know what was wrong with me at all. And to even add to the sense of destitute shame I had, I will tell you that my very first experience of sexuality with a man that I loved when I was 18 years old was so amazing. I actually had no pain and I had 2 orgasms. So I went from the age
of... And you were young, right? You were like what, 18, 20?
So I was 18 the first time I made love.
Right.
I loved my partner. It was amazing. I was waiting for all this discomfort. There was no discomfort at all. It was rocked in my world. I was like, way to go. And then a few years later, I meet my husband, you know, my first husband, and within a few years of being married, I can't have sex at all.
What did you do?
Nothing. I kept this story quiet because I was so embarrassed. I must be the only person in the world with a broken hooch.
Right.
No. And it was like literally, it felt like there was a knife. I couldn't even use tampons.
Wow.
So I'm 33 years old at the time, and my marriage is in shambles. We go on a vacation, and I grit my teeth, and I realize there's something going on. This isn't right. We have sex. I come home. I'm pregnant.
Wow.
And that was the first time in several years I saw an OB-GYN. I was not happy. I wasn't comfortable. I was really embarrassed. And
had you been talking about having children at all? I mean, you couldn't. You were in pain, right? This had to be affecting your marriage.
It was totally affecting the marriage. And so I had wanted a child. I mean, I love my son dearly, desperately. I was thrilled to be pregnant. I was petrified to go to the doctor and actually have her look inside and find that there's something wrong.
Go for an exam. Right. Okay.
So I go to the exam to confirm the pregnancy, and at the end she says, there's something else you'd like to talk about. And I sort of squeak out this, literally my voice was caught in my throat. If you know anything about chakras, my throat chakra was totally tight.
Right.
And I say to her, it hurts when I have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then she performed something called the Q-tip test, where they take a Q-tip and they touch the inside of your vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I scream hell, bloody murder, Mm-hmm. And she tells me, I have something called vulvar vestibulitis. And then she says it's inflammation of these glands that are near the opening of your vagina, and they are responsible. There's a couple pairs. I won't go too clinical, but one of the things they do is they produce lubrication. And she said, we don't know why this happens to some
women. Where does it come from? Right. How did you get it?
We don't know why. Mm-hmm. She says, we don't know why. It could be psychological. It could be physical. She said, it's something that you see a lot of rape victims, women who've had violence. Or it can be an allergic reaction. Now, I'm sitting there in my paper gown, mortified. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that comes to my head is I'm allergic to my husband. I have
that is so
ever,
typical. Yeah, I get it. Right.
I'm allergic to my husband. I had
maybe you were. I don't know.
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah,
and
it was emotional.
It was
keep going. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Absolutely.
It was fascinating.
My yoni. It mm-hmm. was my yoni who knew something long before I did. It was my body speaking to me. It was my
yes.
inner true self speaking through my body saying
yes.
something isn't right in your life. And
exactly.
we are going to make noise until you pay attention.
Uh-huh. That's why I love your story. Okay, keep going.
So I
what happened next?
I was married for a few more years. I had a lot of other health ailments. You know, I was being cared for by a physician. All the while, I had this corporate job that was not nourishing my spirit at all.
Right.
So I had this high-powered job in pharmaceutical sales. My home life was a shambles. My pussy was, you know, like on timeout. Am I allowed to say that word on air? I hope so.
No problem. We're good.
And I finally get the courage to take this amazing leap, and I jump out of my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I start this journey, this healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I did, now it involved, I have to say it involved some tender loving care from very amazing people, including the first lover I had
mm-hmm.
post marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to him, I mean, I was petrified. I remember talking to my therapist going, I'm never going to have sex again. Nobody's going to
okay.
want me. You know, and it wasn't just a whole litany of body wars.
So you did have, I want the listeners to know, there was a lot of, it wasn't just random thing. There was planning in you knowing that you had to make a change. And you did seek out people or angels, wherever were sent to you along the way so that you were able to strategize and not just jump. Yes, I want to make sure listeners know, just, you know, if you think your body's screaming out, just don't run and go do something impulsively.
Well, you know, I have to say, I wasn't seeking out. I was calling in
okay.
prayer, in desperation.
Okay.
And they came to me. I mean, the universe
right.
source brought these angels. In fact, the first person I met, I actually call my enzyme or my catalyst because his affection, his touch, his tenderness, and he did not know that I had this condition. I was mortified.
Wow.
Oh, my God, how am I going to tell somebody who I want to, you know, pounce on, who
right.
I'm so attracted to, that, you know, it might not work.
Right. So you weren't given, and there was nothing you could be given for the pain or to be able to still continue to maybe be physical, you know, or have sex. And so did you stop or did you try or tell us more?
I didn't try with my ex-husband at all.
Okay.
I will tell you that they wanted to prescribe me lidocaine. They do. I was pregnant
right.
at the time, so they couldn't do too many interventions. And there are treatments, surgery. There are women who've had scar tissue that needs to be surgically removed. But I didn't approach or even explore any of those options because first of all, I was mortified.
Right.
And then when I listened to my body.
Great.
When I finally stepped over the threshold and said, I am so exhausted from living a life that doesn't suit me, that isn't harmonious or symbiotic with who I am, body, heart, mind, soul.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping into that place, like taking that first leap and saying, I'm going to live my truth.
Right.
Whatever that might be. And it's a truth with a little t, because, you know, truth with a big T, the big capital T stuff, the universe source God stuff, well, you know, I don't have that. I just have the truth with a little t. And it's informed from above, but, you know, I don't claim to know all that.
But you were trailblazing with a capital T, and you were courageous with a capital C, because look how many years are going back now, okay? Like, we've come a long way since then, but the support systems for you to go out there, you know, you were kind of on a soul journey in a lot of ways, right?
I was, yeah. And I was an ardent reader,
right,
and explorer and meditator, and just tuned mm-hmm. in and wrote poetry like a crazy woman to process everything. So
there you go.
I
you're doing a lot of release work too, like you
a
know,
lot of release work.
Amazing.
And then just by honoring the fact that I needed to be out of that relationship, that it was so toxic to me,
mm-hmm.
the first time I listened within and said yes to the invitation for pleasure with somebody who resonated with me, like energetically we fit,
right.
there was no pain.
Everything
it just,
changed. Were you shocked? What was your reaction to that? Okay.
I was like, hot diggity dog, are you kidding? You know, she's back in the
Well, salad. You were manifesting that all the way along the way. I mean, your body knew, right? Your body knew.
My cellular body knew. My body knew.
Right.
My body knew. My soul was speaking through my... And a woman's wisdom. I mean, I remember reading years ago some military general saying, the best writer on the planet is already built and it's inside women's bodies.
I love that.
I was like, yeah, he's a smart man. So I listened to my body.
Okay, amazing. Amazing. And then tell all the listeners, as the energy started to shift, what started to change and improve and how your life turned around?
Well, over the course of a few years, there's so many different parts to this. I had a major shift in my life regarding spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I explored an aspect of my spiritual life that I had never ever imagined I'd have the courage to do, and I took a major leap from having. I was raised in a Christian home, and always felt out of step with that. Started exploring Judaism and converted to Judaism on my own.
Okay, so your second husband was Jewish. Your first husband was not.
Yes. Yes. But I converted to Judaism before I met my husband.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to get. Okay.
Now.
You were calling him in. There you go.
I was calling him. Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
We call. We're powerful.
Okay.
I'd always loved to write. The written word spoke to my soul, mm-hmm. and I started writing. This was about 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so I was working full-time in pharmaceutical sales, and I started writing. And just... it was like stepping stones lit up. One article, one column came, then another, then there was an invitation to write about this. And at first I just wanted to write about relationships, but what kept coming, what kept tapping me on the shoulder was, Tina, you've got to write about sex.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to write about sexuality. And then about a little over three years ago, the opportunity came to write for an environmental website out of Israel called Green Prophet. I write for a lot of different places, and that's just one of them. And they needed someone to write about relationships mm-hmm. and environmentalism.
And now talk about that. That might be a little link us into what is ecosexuality? That's trailblazing. Tell us more.
Well, I'll tell you, there is no abiding definition of ecosexuality right now. Okay. Different people have different ideas of what that means.
Okay.
And there is a book written by a friend of mine, Stephanie Iris Weiss, called Ecosex. So I'm going to refer people to that if they want to learn a little bit more upfront. But I guess I am a trailblazer in that, and I'll tell you what ecosex means for me.
Of course you are.
Mm-hmm. Ecosexuality for me is the recognition and the adaptation of environmentally friendly products and behaviors that benefit people, the lovers, and the planet. And the idea is to reduce harm to both, emphasize pleasure without compromise, and really advocate for healthy alternatives in every aspect of reproductive health and well-being.
That is a huge piece to swallow. Can you give an example?
Okay. Let's talk about adult pleasure toys.
Okay.
They're unregulated, and until the last few years, many of the toys out there, the plastic toys, vibrators, dildos, etc., were made included ingredients that you would not want near your nether parts. For example, bisphosphonyl A. It's an endocrine disruptor. So, you've got this toy, you're putting it inside your body, and it's leaching this ingredient into your body.
Toxic. I've thought about that. Yeah, there have been times that I've thought about that when I'm exposed to them. None of that on my show. But, you know, it's interesting because I've thought about that, and I think it's so interesting how people just, on so many levels, are watching their lifestyle and so holistic, but something like this would never even cross their mind.
Well, I can say we romance toxins in every aspect of our life, and a lot of these are reproductive toxins.
Okay.
Plastics in our food, like, you know, plastic cookware, GMO food.
Okay.
The petrochemicals in our hygiene or cleaning products, all of these have the potential to cause reproductive harm, interfere with our ability for fertility. And there's just the beginning of the studies, and this is the science part. People want an entryway, like a gateway drug to ecosexuality. This
good
is
word,
science.
Gateway.
Mm-hmm. This is the gateway drug to ecosex. The idea that we're exposed to harmful noxious chemicals. You know, of the few thousand chemicals that are out there on a regular basis, less than 5% have been tested for reproductive harm. And so, you know, you pick up your Lysol can. Well, I don't want to like blast any particular
particular
brand.
All right, but air fresheners is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these artificial fragrances, they disrupt it. You know, they're interfering with our
perfume
system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the birth control pill needs to be reevaluated. It revolutionized women's sexual sovereignty.
Yes.
But those hormones go into the waterway, and not just from the birth control pill, but also from agribusiness, agricultural business. These additional extraneous hormones in our environment feminize boys and cause precocious puberty in girls. At least that's what the studies seem to be indicating, and more data needs to be gathered. My background's in science, so I don't want to say definitively, because if there's a scientist listening, they're going to want to bash me, but the data suggests in animal studies, and it's becoming more and more clear to us that there is a link between this exposure to these artificial hormones, and precocious puberty. So what's
that was my next one. Look at these young girls, that are so young, and you know they're getting their period, and people are walking around thinking, oh my God, is it radiation? Well, you better believe it's happening. It's coming from somewhere.
Yes.
Think about what it might be, and don't run in fear and be in denial. This is your health.
Don't run
right?
in fear and be in denial. Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, a little girl, say age 7, really is too young to be developing breasts.
Absolutely.
When you and I were growing up, you know, the average age for starting the period, I think was like 12 years old. It's now moved back a whole year. And people want to think it's better nutrition. No, it is not better nutrition. It is exposure to chemicals that are activating puberty too early.
Right.
And there are long-term consequences to our health later on.
Yes.
So,
I agree. I totally agree. And I think there's a whole world out there. Look, if a young girl like you years back at 18 years old could deal with something like that, there have to be millions of stories of women that have gone through stuff, maybe middle-aged plus women now, that they were so shameful that they kept their mouth shut and never said anything. And some of those, you know, could end up have been fatal. Like, you know, we don't know. Thank God your story was a great story, and you maybe want to, like you said, the gateway, the angel, to educate people, because the world does need education and awareness.
Yes. So that really was the launch for me to go into this movement, was just my own sexual wound to wholeness. And I shifted from just being a writer and now into going to coaching.
All right.
So
what are you doing now? Thank you for sharing your story, first of all, because that was, you know, an intimate story. And I hope that there are listeners that, if there's one person, this is what I do at every one of my shows. I don't always have to think big. I just think, just reach and touch one person who has a takeaway from this and thinks about someone or mentions something to someone else. If this show helps one person, then you've been helpful, and then you're trailblazing. So now tell us what you are doing with your coaching practice. Actually, we have 1 minute left, so I need you to do in 1 minute.
Oh, this conversation is so funny.
Yeah, well, I can invite you back. I told you I'm definitely going to have you live in the fall. So
yes,
we'll go. This
absolutely.
Is just the beginning. But in as many seconds as you can, how do people reach you? How do they find you there? And what
they
kind of coaching?
Reach me at my website, TinaMarieBernard.com, my name. They can also email at me at EchoCoachTina@gmail.com. That's EchoCoach Tina@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I do what I call intimacy coaching, that's eco conscious, helping women go from wounding to wholeness from the earth up.
That is absolutely so beautiful. That is what I heard you say close to the stage a few weeks ago, and I went, wow. At that time, I have no clue what it is. Now I get it. I understand it. I think it's a trailblazing concept. I want to wish you the most beautiful summer. I'm off to the East Coast Tuesday morning, so I'm doing some pre-recorded shows. I know the show is going to be on air in July, and had it been live, we could have had callers, people calling in. We can always come back and revisit and do that again. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I want to wish you the best of luck. Thank you, everyone who's listening out there today, and I wish you all well, and we'll be in touch soon. All my love.